Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're live, brothers and sisters. I'm Elder Ricard Shiar of the Gathered of Christ Church. We're here live. And now, let's see here, 515-605-9327 if you want to chime in or have any questions, even about the Academy. One thing that you might be happy to know, we will no longer close the chat at the end of the lesson, okay? We're going to pick and choose and make sure we get some people in who are fairly new, who have never gotten their questions answered. So don't worry about that. We're going to have the Academy done at a time in which we can actually converse and interact with the students on a more personal basis. That was one of the complaints that we had out there, and guess what? That complaint has now been fixed. So when you get to the Academy, we will have our Zoom interactions, as well as you don't have to worry about the chat being stopped and now you can't interact. Those things are done. We're going to make sure there's more interaction after the lessons are done. 347 area code, we have 10 minutes before the lines are closed. So if you have something to chime in, a question or comment, if you have a voice that you would like to converse with us tonight, you have 10 minutes to call in before the queue is cut off. 515-605-9327 to get you in queue. 347 area code. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. Thank you. Well, I'm going to try to make this quick. All right. Oh, well, I personally understand the importance of being an Israelite, but I have a friend that we were and talked to and trying to share lessons and everything with. Well, her contention is, well, I believe that, you know, if you go to church and you believe, well, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe in Jesus Christ, you'll go to heaven anyway. What is the answer to that? And now, don't say that showing these videos, because she claims that the lessons are too long. She can't handle watching all the lessons and everything. So what is the answer to say to someone that just claims that, you know, well, she doesn't think it doesn't matter, basically?
Okay.
So what is the answer to someone like that?
Okay, now, what did you say her answer is again?
She says, well, if you just accept Jesus Christ and, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ and everything, you accept him as a Savior, then you will be saved. You'll go to heaven anyway. That's her thinking, you know, the old
Okay, so. So now, so let's break that down, right? What
okay.
does accepting Christ, what does accepting Christ entails?
Well, apparently she said just believing in Christ and claiming him to say, yeah, apparently, that, I guess that's what she believes. That's,
I understand,
you know,
but that's a little ambiguous, right? That's subjective, right?
Right. Yes, it is.
Because Christ says, ye that believe in me, as the scripture has said.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to let her know outright. Unfortunately, there's a good chance you truly don't believe in Christ as he intended for you to believe in him.
Okay.
And you have to show him that. Like for instance, Christ says what about the law?
Well,
what does
the law.
It say? Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets.
Right.
I've come not to destroy, but to fulfill. So you have to ask the right questions. Christ would intend, he intended for believers to continue in following the law given to Moses. Do you believe in those laws? Because if not, you don't really believe in Christ.
Right. Okay.
And it says, he that sin transgresseth the law. When you go to 1 John, the second chapter. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Right.
Right? He that
right.
sin willfully, in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, when you sin willfully, there's no forgiveness of sins. So you have to let her know, no. You've accepted the Christ they've delivered to you.
Right.
But you've been taught another, but you have been taught another Christ. And this is what I do to Christians when I speak with them. You know, I shock them a little bit by saying, you don't believe in Christ. And this is what I tell them. They've lied to us. They have lied to us concerning this Christ, and thereby we begin to lie to ourselves and believing that we've accepted him.
Exactly.
So what I can't accept is you lying to me. You didn't accept Christ. You've been taught another Christ.
Okay, well that's
that shock value within itself would at least open her up for a conversation. What you mean? Because now you're questioning her belief system altogether. She's offended at this point. What do you mean? I don't believe in Christ. I go to church every week. Exactly. Show me where Christ said go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So you lay it back. Since she believe in Christ, you lay it back in her lap. She's the believer. You go to church every week. Show me where Christ told you to go to church Sunday every week now. When Exodus the 20th chapter teaches us that God said remember the Sabbath, where Christ went to the synagogue on a Sabbath and healed, which means he was there on a Sabbath, knowing that that's when our people came together under a holy convocation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to let her know it was the Romans worshiping in the Roman temples on Sundays. The Bacchus temple. So she believes that her dedication and her fervent dedication to Sunday service, she thinks that's equivalent to accepting Christ and following Christ as a believer.
Yeah. I know when I tried to when I first started trying to share the truth with her, she said to me, well, I don't want to get into anything that will shake my faith. And I'm like, what? You know? So,
Hold up. First of all, if I have the truth, why would I be threatened with my faith being shaken?
Right.
Listen, if you have the truth and you're standing on Christ's foundation, you welcome someone seeking to shake your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You welcome that. So that means in of itself that she's not really confident in the Christ she claimed to serve. Oh, you may shake my faith. I'm not shaking your faith. If I'm showing you Christ in the Bible, isn't that building your faith? Let me read one thing real quick, sister, because I think the scriptures will help within this. Let me read something for you.
Okay.
One second. Let me pull this up. One second. That's not working there. Let me pull it up here. Let me read this for you, sister.
Okay.
And this is Paul right here. Right here. And I'm going to pull this up, sister.
Okay.
Now, this is Galatians. Christians love going to the word of Paul. And right now, I'm in the book of Galatians. Right? And I need you to read this. And this is more so, I want you to understand this more than being able to convince her. Okay?
Okay.
Paul said in Galatians, Galatia, the first chapter. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Okay? So the gospel is a definitive understanding, a deliverance of an understanding of deliverance that was delivered to the disciples to teach. Gospel was the good news. The good news is he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So who came in and perverted the gospel of Christ, sister? The Romans.
The Romans, yes.
But
right.
Though we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As if
okay.
We said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. So what is Paul saying there? The gospel is fully understood. And true believers would know what doctrine comes of Christ to build their faith upon. So, since we know that, right, let's go
right.
to the good news. Let's go to the good news. Because she believed that going to church every Sunday, being devout in her belief, is how, you know, is a true way to serve the living God. And she's afraid. You know what she's afraid of, sis? She's afraid of finding out that all of her devotion and life dedication to Christ, or whom she thought was Christ, was a lie. She's afraid of knowing that. And the fact that she said, this may shake my faith, she knows there's a chance she's living a lie, but don't want to be held accountable.
Okay.
Listen to what I'm saying. Because she knows that she cannot be held accountable for something she didn't learn or do not know. So she would rather stay in darkness than to hear you tell her something and something different that challenges her faith. Because now, because she do believe in Christ, she's accountable to do something with the information you're delivering.
Right.
So she's afraid. She don't want to be accountable. She's comfortable.
Right,
but let me show you what was delivered. Your phone is breaking up, but let me read the gospel that was delivered to the disciples. Matthew 10 and 5. Then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now, this was the original gospel before Christ died and made a commission to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you preach, tell them, say to them what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the true mission in receiving Christ and his gospel was to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Paul even stated, if anyone bring another gospel outside of what was delivered to the disciples, let that whole church be accursed. They're teaching another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yes. Yes.
So the mission that your friend have accepted was the mission that came with the false white image of Cesare Borgia.
Right.
Christ, the heaven, Paul, no one is accepting that mission. Who knows the truth? So I hope some of this helped. You can let her know that, listen, you're not trying to shake her faith. You're just seeking to add to it. Let her know, listen, your faith in Christ is sound. I'm not going to try to convince you outside, because believing in Christ, we both can agree with that. And try to deal with the things y'all can agree with first. And the fact that Christ is Savior, stick there with it. But then let her know there's another component.
Okay.
That the mission of Christ, the mission of Christ starts with finding his people. And then you let her know you're one of those people. All right? Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Thank
you. You're giving me enough permission to fight this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bless you. All right. So okay. The lines are closed, but we have enough people in. We're going to go down these and then retire for tonight and get ready for our Patreon tomorrow. You can probably share on the Patreon with me tomorrow too, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 786 area code.
Shalom, Elder. How you doing, brother?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahiah. How are you doing, sir?
God, I'm doing well. This is Brother Armbrister. I gather at the Church of Antioch, North Cali. And I got a question, because if I'm not mistaken, Palestine would be Moabite. And
you mean the Palestinians?
Yeah, Palestinians. They would be Moabites.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
There'd be Moabites,
okay.
And the Jordanians would be Ammonites, the children of Lot.
I understand. Karn. And is that Esau marrying Ishmaelite? Is how Moabites came about?
No. Moabites, don't forget, Moab and Ammon came from the two children, the two incest children between Lot when Lot was drunk. He was... made drunk by his daughters and bare children to the two daughters after the death, the destruction of Babylon. They were fearful that no other civilization existed outside of Babylon, and while their fathers slept, Sodom and Gomorrah, excuse me, Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, I'm thinking about this Babylon. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, what happened is Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot, they left, and after the wife was turned to pillar, it was such a destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah that it traumatized the daughters who believed that, hold up, let's lay with our father to continue a bloodline, believing
right.
that no other people could have survived on earth after what they experienced or seen that with the death of Sodom and Gomorrah. So the Ammonites and the Moabites came out of those two daughters.
Con, and why do Palestine feel like they have a right to Israel? Because I had a conversation with a Palestinian brother, and he was saying that, like, Israel is Palestine or something, and I would just seek some edification on that.
Well, the reason why the Palestinians believe that they have a right to it, because after we were destroyed, after 70 AD when the Romans destroyed us, all of the nations which bordered our land had free access to it. Now imagine having children from the time of 70 AD up into our present time, when now the United Nations and Rome is looking at that land stating, you have to leave. So
because
they lived there so long, they believed they were the people, the same as we can see about the Samaritan woman in John, the fourth chapter, that Christ ran into after her family lived so many years since 721 B.C.,
right.
And all the other people were placed in Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and it was a woman who lived there so long and had a family line so long, she thought during Christ's time that she was a part of the family. So that's no
right.
Until Christ set her straight. He told her, listen, y'all don't belong here. There's going to come a time in John 4 that you or your people ain't going to worship in this land, and the true worshipers
right.
will be back here. Okay? So it's the same with the Palestinians. They were there so long before World War I and II and before the Balfour Agreement that gave a Jewish state within the Middle East, that they felt what? They had more claim to the land than what they would claim European colonists would have.
Con.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
So,
I'm a bear off so you can answer others. But with the land of Carthage and Hispania, I'm thinking Hispania are Edomites. correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm inquiring on how did they language
Carthage.
Change to Latin.
No, Carthage, when you talk about Carthage, you're speaking of the children of Israel.
Yeah,
yeah.
Judah was there first, and then it became Hispania. So at that time, that means Edomites to move in that land if it changed to Hispania. Am I correct?
We were the Jews who were expelled during the time of Isabella.
Right. Right.
That was us.
Right. And so I guess I think it'll help me like put so much together if I could understand how Hispania, I'm thinking that's Edomites who are speaking a different language other than Greek, now they're speaking Latin. But like,
That's not true. You have to realize we were the Israelites that were expelled by Spain. There's some misnomers out there that all the Spaniards that came over here to America were Edomites who began to mix on the land, and that's not entirely true. When you hear the word Rodriguez and different names like that, these were Israelites. These were Israelites that were being utilized in war, where the Edomites would actually have our people in war against the indigenous people here in the West.
It's our own people.
So it wasn't just all white people coming over here from Spain. It was our people in war being utilized like right now. When we go off the war, you can see a lot of our families fighting for America.
Right.
It doesn't mean to be the white American.
Right, right. And they used the Moors as well to come over through the country.
Yeah.
Store. They used to come put down on us as well in America.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But the Moors would be equivalent to how the Europeans used us too, but the Moors were predominantly those who were under the Islamic conquest.
Right.
And blacks were actually controlled by the Arabs.
Right. Being that they had that covenant written in Psalm 83.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but these are the enemies
utilizing
us as combatants on either side, whether it be Islam or Christianity.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're Israelites on either side.
I appreciate you,
Thank you
for your time. And yeah, if you could do some type of course, the breakdown, like the Hispania, Spain, the Greek, how they got over to Spain, I'd greatly appreciate it, Elder.
Well, believe it or not, and I'm glad that's right on point with the next academy where we'll be going into more so history and archaeology. This academy for the 12 weeks will be dealing with spirituality, the light against the darkness. How does prophecy unfold, from the spiritual realm and understanding that from the heavenly perspective, not just the earth, will be the light and darkness concept will be the first 12 weeks. But the next academy, strictly history and archaeology, and we're going to add in that dark period of Spain and all that. Since you mentioned
that,
we're going to bring that as part of our history of the Dark Ages. All right?
All right. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Shalom and continue our work. I appreciate you. God bless you.
Well, bless you also. Thank you. Going down the line, the lines are closed, so I'm just going to go down the line and open it up. Tonight is Israelite Truth. As part of our discussion, 561 area code, then 406.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. This is Brother Harold. I just called in to say I'm sponsoring my daughter for her very first academy. That's all I need to say.
Well, praise the Most High. Hey, I'll tell you what. Hey, You want to get something off of that, for helping us out. Not that you would ask for it anyway, but that's the most.
Nah.
I mean, that's the least we can do. Excuse me. Thank you, Harold. Bring it on in.
Yeah, thank you. Elder. You guys continue the great work, and shalom. That's all I wanted to say for tonight.
Shalom. Thank you, my brother, and I'll see you this Sunday.
Thank you.
Going down the line, thank you, Brother Harold. My brother from the same mother, 920 area code. Her name is Leah.
Hello, Elder. My name is Sierra. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing, Sierra? I can hear you.
Okay, just making sure I could be heard. Shalom, family. I'm pretty much calling in tonight just asking for the church to give a prayer to me. I recently just lost a baby, so my faith's been all over the place. I've been all over the place. Losing my family is kind of pretty rough.
I'm sorry. How old are you?
System. I am 33. I've been a part of the church for over 10 years.
Your name?
Sierra.
Sierra.
Yep.
Your husband?
Adrian.
All right, I have your number here. I'll make sure we call you and do a prayer for you, with you. And keep in mind, and this may help you out, because I'll be going into that. I'm going into some part of the Apocalypse of Paul when I do the lesson, Who's Christ, to show what happens between this realm and the spiritual realm during the loss of children. And one thing that happens, there's no pain like it on earth, but I need you to understand, when the children are lost, the spirit goes right back to the father. It goes right back to the father, okay? So it's being protected until you see that child in the kingdom. All spirits come back. When I say they come back, they don't come back in reincarnation, but they will be utilized upon the coming of our Lord and Savior. So your child isn't lost. It just didn't make it to this side. Okay? So you need to know that. You need to know that. And there's a constant reminder in the heavens where all things are viewed. When I say a constant reminder, all people, when it comes to the children that are there, they have a reminder, an insight of the activities on earth when it comes to family. So I need you to understand that, sister. And I know there's nothing that can replace this pain, but that baby's getting comforted. All right?
Yes.
And I'll call you. You're welcome. And we'll talk about that because, you know, a lot of this information should be taught where we know exactly what happens to those who make it through this life onto the other side and the children who don't have an opportunity to make it to this life. The Most High have a reason for that. And it's deeper than any of us can understand. But he also has a reason and a plan for that spirit. Okay? So you don't have to beat yourself up and wonder what I could have done, because usually when it comes to death, normal emotions kicks in. Sometimes guilt, regret, and then we begin to blame ourselves. Even if it's someone who passed, who lived, we always reflect on what I could have done to stop this. When it's all in the hands of the Most High. So be comforted. You'll be in our prayers. Be comforted. And what you can celebrate is the fact that that child didn't come in this earth and know that child cannot be and will not be subjected to sin. You understand? So the Most High, no more so than any of us, the child is protected. It's pure. And one day we just have to work so that we can see our loved one, those who didn't come and those who passed. Okay? So I'm going to give you a call soon, and, you know, I'll do a prayer with you. Okay, sister?
I appreciate that.
Bless you. You have my
phone. Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, sister. 901 area code, 901.
Hey, Shalom.
How are you? Shalom.
All is well. Listen, I always get excited when I hear my area code. Okay, so let me just say that I appreciate you guys, and I called previously, and you said that Elder Lawyer would reach out to me, but I hadn't heard from anybody because I was really hoping to get in on this Passover, but it's getting crunch time. It may be even difficult to find a hotel room at this point. But it's been difficulty staying, getting, well, I guess, corresponding between the two of us. I've been trying to be very patient, but I guess I have a little. I'm trying not to be anxious, but I'm so anxious. I mean, so anxious to get baptized and to hopefully become a member. My husband and
okay.
I, and because I'm in between churches, so I'm kind of having
are
need
you
to replace.
Are you the sister
my
that's
old church
in Atlanta?
In Memphis. A church, which is a city I really need to come because I tell you, Memphis got we got some black folk here that really need some DLC.
I've been there. I've already got it. So I apologize. Give me your name and don't worry about it. I'll call you.
Okay, Nicole.
Okay, Nicole. Call me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call you. Don't worry about it. I'll call you tomorrow, and we'll work it out. Find a way to make it happen for you, okay? I apologize.
Oh, okay. I sure appreciate that. And can I have – I do have one quick question.
Yes.
As far as my husband and I have been having meetings in our home to try and get the truth out. It's kind of our – we believe it's our assignment right now, and – we've been just having really great PowerPoints and having people that seem to have an ear to hear come together, and we just explain about their identity. We break down the curses of Deuteronomy and explain to them, the purpose for being an Israelite. We have different PowerPoints, but this one that's coming up is about Esau and Jacob to kind of explain to them the origins of racism. And I've been searching and searching your channel to see if we can find something that explains exactly how Esau became the white man. The origins of white people. That's kind of
let me ask you this: Are you in the academy?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'm very much in the
okay.
academy. This is our
all
second
right.
one.
So,
we just registered yesterday for the second one. We're in the academy. So
okay.
we haven't been in the one where you just explain that one.
Okay. Well, don't worry about it. Are you in this academy?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're enrolled in this academy, you have my word. Week 4, when I go into Booth Edom, I can show you exactly how they became a race of what they would call lighter skin or white people.
Mm-hmm.
I can show you that.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
You'll have week 4. All right.
Week 4, I'm writing it down, and I look forward to hearing from you too on tomorrow. Thank you so much, Elder.
I will call you tomorrow. All right. I will call.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Welcome. Shalom. Bless you and your husband. Shalom.
All right.
All right, going down the line, okay, next in queue, 647 area code, 647.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to actually get to finally talk to you.
Thank you.
I was calling.
I'm glad I'm speaking
great.
To you.
Great. I was calling in because I have more than maybe two questions or so. I thank God for you first, I must say, because I've been searching, and finally, I finally got my soul's soul desire. I've been in a few different churches, and I've never heard about the Hebrew Israelites. And I asked two different pastors, and all they told me was, it doesn't matter. You can worship at any days of the week you can worship. But I'm like, yeah, but the Lord said he set aside, the Sabbath day for us to worship it. And he said, it doesn't matter. So I never really get a straight answer. And the way you break it down for us, it's just amazing. amazing. My heart, my spirit is glad, you know, that I found you. And I said, you know what? No, I've got to join the academy. And so I did. I will be starting school on Sunday.
Where are you from?
I'm from Canada. Canada.
Your name?
Donna Smith.
So, Donna, let me ask you this. Your pastor, whoever he was, does he know more than God?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't,
so
but he behaves.
This is my problem when they claim it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter, why did God say remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy?
Exactly. Please explain that to me.
No, exactly. They think they know more than God.
Well, he really do. You know who he is. You know Pastor Jennings. Pastor Jennings.
Oh, man, yeah. He's from Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
So he's the one running around telling people it doesn't matter that God said remember the Sabbath.
That's right.
Okay. Well, you're no longer following that, I suppose.
No, I stopped.
You know what? Shapat, hold up. Ask that question again, Shapat.
If it doesn't matter, why are you going to church on Sunday?
I don't know. I really don't know. I asked that question because you say, okay, you say the thing about it is he say that he knows the Bible so well. And you have to understand something. As I said, I've been searching. So when I come across him on YouTube, I saw that was it. You know what I mean? Because of the way that he was breaking down the word and everything. But since this so-called thing that we went through for the past 2 years, you know, he totally blew me away with that, right? Because he had said that we had to take the stuff. Otherwise, we won't be able to come to church, right? And remember now, he used his own mouth. And
he like,
said,
roll up your sleeves.
Yeah, he said,
okay.
This is what he said. He said somebody wrote in and asked
right
him
there.
Why. Yeah, he said, why don't you roll? He said somebody called him and said, why don't you let your congregation take the stuff? And he said, why should I let them take it? I remember back in 1970s, they feed our people on chrysalis, through the stuff. And then I was so shocked when he changed his mind because he always said he's not a sellout. So I was so shocked when he said something like that. And when I saw it, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me because I ain't putting that stuff in my body, no way, no how. And that was it because he went out and he said, oh, I have to travel the world and I'm not going to let a little thing as a shot stop me. So he went and he took it.
Okay.
And then the people took it. But guess what?
Sister, we've been traveling the world and we don't have to do none of that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because the whole thing is, it's like this. It's called religious protection. If God says no, the answer is no. You can't. What, you going to infringe on my God-given right that I cannot have? You're going to claim that I have to have something foreign in my body to go somewhere against my God.
Elder, I send videos to a few of the members that go to the church, and they totally lay me out. They laid me out. They tell me that I'm going to send a video to some Jamaican and they're going to tell me some dirty, bad words. And the way she laid me out, I was so hurt. But because I'm a child of the Most High, I didn't answer.
He called you everything but the child of God. Huh?
Yeah. She crushed my heart. I went and I speak to the Lord about it. And then when I went back to the church, I've never seen anything like this, Elder. You know when the Lord said he will let your enemy become your footstool? I've never seen the way she was rallying around me. I said, if I had opened up my mouth and laid her out, maybe the Lord would not have let that happen. You know, she was around me. She behaved like nothing happened, giving me hugs and talking to me so nicely. I'm like, wow, okay. You know, but, yeah, it's bad.
Let's talk about now. let's talk about now, because the most, it's time to turn the page, right?
Yeah.
Because this is what it is, right? Let me tell you something, sister. A little bit about my journey, let you know that, you know, that I can relate to everything you're dealing with. Imagine sitting around some people that you help bring into the church through teaching and influence and fervent study. Mm-hmm. And one day to have some people say, stand up and walk down the steps and get the H-E-L-L out of here. That's what I was talking about. And I did nothing through these men. And then only thing I wanted to know was, okay, I'll leave, but can you tell the people here, because I'm responsible for a lot of these people and fellow brothers laboring in Christ, I'm responsible for a lot of them sitting in these seats here. At least tell them what's wrong. And they said, we ain't telling them nothing. You get the H-E-L-L out of this place or we'll throw you down the steps.
Wow.
Sister, listen, though. Sister, listen. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because Christ said that they would kick you out of the synagogues and think they do God's service.
Yeah,
it was the
right.
Most High moving me. He knew that I was so faithful in that particular sect that if they didn't kick me out, I would probably still be there.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
So the whole deal,
that's
sister,
true.
I count it joy, and I pray for those who despitefully use me or attack me. And I let Christ fight
those
battles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you need to do? The Most High delivered you, sister. What you need to do is turn the page. He has something
that's
great
exactly
in store.
That's exactly what I'm doing. But there is something that I wanted to talk to you about. It's a little bit off topic, but I really,
well, I can't
really
do that right now, sister, because, sister, I really can't do that now because we're limited times and I don't want the phones to get cut out. But I will take down your phone number and I will call you so that you can connect
please.
With our people in Canada. All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Until this day, no one ever told me what happened. But I remember, I think Tyler Dockia, and he passed since now. May the Lord bless his soul. He came out with a band of men while I was teaching on 9th and Market. And he was saying, I need to come down and talk to him because whatever happened, I cursed the church.
What?
He claimed that because when I came back and I tried to deliver what I wanted to deliver based on the word on a so-called holy day, I think it was Feast of Tabernacles, they didn't want me to come into the building, so I prophesied that they're judging for reward and the Most High is going to tear this whole thing down if they don't get it right as priests. And by the time he came to see me on speaking, they lost the building on 33rd and Diamond Street, 33rd and Dolphin Street. So they lost the building, and he came to me while I was teaching and say it was because of me they lost the building because I cursed the church. I said, brother, I don't got nothing to do with any of this. I guess that's what they came up to. They lost the building, and it must be this guy's fault that they kicked out of the church. I'm like, that's between y'all and the Most High of y'all losing things for not listening. I just turned the page. Let me alone.
Yeah.
I'm okay without
right.
y'all people.
That's right.
Right? So
that's
the whole
right.
thing is
that's
the best
right.
thing you can do is turn the page and let the Most High fight the battle. And it tell you that if someone's work comes to naught, you'll know it was not of God. That's how you know.
Yeah.
You leave it alone. Don't mess with anyone. And it tell you that if their work comes to naught, you'll know it's not of Christ. So the only thing I had to do was to step away and allow it to do what? Fall.
Wow.
Why? Because I would have been there trying to uphold and patch things up that the Most High was seeking to take down anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So
I
turn the page.
Mm-hmm.
And time tells the tale.
I wasn't in church. I'm home. I've been watching you for just a couple of months. I sit down every evening. I watch you, and every Saturday that can't miss me
praise
because
the Most
High. I, you know, I didn't know anything
well,
about
a,
the Sabbath, and so yeah.
I know. There's a lot. Listen, sister, I was just excited as you were when I first got this, so I don't want to take away your joy, but I'm out of time. But
okay,
I'll be able
okay.
to talk with you. Hold on. Let me write it down. Make sure I got your right number. Let me have your name.
Donna.
Donna in Canada. I will give you a call tomorrow, Donna, okay?
Okay, I'm looking forward, Elder.
And the Passover will be in Canada, so you probably want to go there with the brothers and sisters who will be having Passover.
About that, I didn't know. Like I hear you kept talking about it, and I'm like, man, I wish I could go. Because I didn't know you have one here, so that's why I wanted to talk to you so badly too, because I wanted to find out if you have one here. But today, my husband's a friend called, and then he was talking about the Passover. So my husband said, my wife want to go, but where we, you know, when are you guys going? And so I'm like, which hotel you guys are staying in and stuff? And he's like, hotel, it's here. I'm like, what? He's like, it's here. I'm like, oh.
Well,
man.
Don't worry, sister. I'll call you tomorrow and we'll discuss this, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank you.
And I can understand her excitement. That's how I was when I got the truth. And the Most High, you've been delivered. And let me tell you, I told people when the Jim Jones juice was being presented after the plague in 2020, I said people are going to understand the true believers in Christ through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if a man of faith budged and become the Pied Piper for this stuff, all believers everywhere need to understand, because they're pointing this out to themselves. You'll know who God didn't send in these days. Because the last thing Christ and the disciples would have done, they would not have opened up their temple to push a Roman agenda against their own people. Not Christ and the disciples. Christ told them straight up, you render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and render unto God what belongs to God. Caesar's agendas belong to the people he control or rule over. See? So, nah, we good on that. We're not afraid, because why? You got it. The Most High didn't give us a spirit of fear. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews that Satan used fear to put people in bondage, in subjection to whatever agenda he pushes. So when 2020 happened, I seen all the Israelites who was shaking during this time and was putting it out there, well, you can make your own choice. And I said, there you go. See, you never know who's really down with the Most High until what? Real live events test their fortitude to make it where they're actually standing on what they claim they believe. And when I seen Johanna, when I seen Nate from IUIC shaky on it and say, well, you can do it. And when I seen Jennings do it, and Jennings, the same guy she just mentioned. And when I seen, that's right, folks, TD Jake stand up and do a photo op while people were taking pictures of him doing it. And I said, listen, I don't have to say anything, because the bottom line is, would Christ have done it? And if the answer is no, how can you claim to follow Christ and compromise those who believe in you and are strengthened through your faith? If you're weak, and being thrown all over the place without a decisive decision, how can you expect those who trust in you to stand strong through a time in which they would need you, especially the mark of the beast? So I didn't have to say anything. At that time period, it showed who's really down with Christ. You can't tell people, well, it's their choice. It's up to them. We did this growing up as kids. Who knows? When people are seeking Bible direction from you, not your opinion. Bible direction is yes or no. The Most High have already showed me those they're going to utilize to compromise with the mark of the beast system, because they've already done it. Next call, 757 area code. And guess what? And that's one thing about what on this line, when you do things publicly online, it's archived. It never goes away. So people can talk that tough stuff. I'm down with Christ. I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm down. The heavens protect me. I'm Israel. They can say all of that, but wait till an event happens and watch them shake. Watch them compromise.
I want to read something about shaking real quick.
Yeah. Come on, about shaking real quick. We got a few more calls, but go ahead.
James 2:19. And it kind of adds to the question the sister was asking about, you know, about conversation she's having with another sister that, you know, so long as you just believe, that's enough. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So what distinguishes you from the devils?
Yeah.
Obedience is supposed to distinguish you from the devils.
The answer is no. And anything worked fine with Mark. And people, I want to say this. People putting out 501c3 and all that. In fact, brothers and sisters, that's just a tax status. Okay? We're not under that status, but that's just a tax status. They can't say that you're forced to take something, a medical procedure, because you're under 501c3. It doesn't work that way. A matter of fact, if you're under a religious exemption, you can use that status to say, hell to the no. Because under my religion, it's against my bylaws and tenets to actually offer my people up for medical procedures. So no. If anything, that exemption could have been used as a status to say, well, okay, I'm a religious organization who have nothing to do with government mandates. All right? So I have to straighten that out when people think in their mind that someone being under a tax status, a 501c3, means that they have sold out. No.
Right.
Now, 501c3 is just an exemption status for them to operate as a religious sect or religiously without government intrusion when it comes to certain things, whether or not they get a venue. They don't have to pay taxes like other people and other things like that because they shouldn't have to.
I want to add something on that point, too. But, you know, the misconceptions about these taxes. Statuses, right?
Yeah.
If the implication or the reason someone brings that up is to imply that, oh, that means you're controlled by the government, well, check this out. We're on this platform right now. What's this, YouTube? Whether you have a tax status or not, there's certain words you can't say.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason we have to have Patreon and certain information can only really be put in the academy, okay, because the system, whether you're tax exempt or not, won't allow you to have or say certain words based on the algorithms that are here words. Oh, what?
Yeah.
You said this? Strike.
Yeah.
Okay?
Now, but on a different point, because they was talking about the juice, and I want to say this, because you're right on with that. But what I'm saying is, it wasn't because of 501c3 they had to do it, but their status allowed them to get access to finances during that time that could sustain their church if they were to compromise.
Right.
See?
There was a facility offering.
Yeah. Since there was nobody coming in the church paying tithes, how were they going to be able to keep their buildings and keep things intact financially until the storm blow over?
Right.
Well, they was offering pastors certain financial kickbacks if they opened up their church in the community for access for the Jews. See?
Yeah.
So that was a way in which they can supplement their income while losing income with no one actually coming to church.
Mm.
So that's when they had a choice. That's when they had a decision to make and say, listen, I need to choose Christ and God over money. I'm not going to let this circumstance have it where now my doors are open to be controlled through government. When every time I stand for something spiritually, the government tells me there's a separation between church and state and that they have nothing to do with me. They can't have it both ways. If you want to say there's a separation between church and state and that when I bring up something where the government is violating my religious rights, you say, well, listen, we're separate. Well, guess what? When an event happens or a plague or something happens in the earth, why should the church be open to compromise with the state?
Mm.
So that's what was going on. It wasn't a thing where they were forced to do it. They sought an opportunity with an empty building. No one was going to there anywhere, and the government was offering money to use their place for those who would volunteer to come through for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So they sought an opportunity. That's all that was.
Mm-hmm.
So let me set that record straight.
Mm-hmm. And you, to drive home that point, usually these restrictions that people believe is attached to a tax status actually comes under contract law, like Al just mentioning, with these events or scenarios and programs to say, oh, you want this money that's allotted for this?
Yeah.
Well, you have to open your venue up for safe dispensaries for drug use, for example, that's happening now across the country.
So really, it was a money grab. Everything, during that time, there was a lot of money to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And churches and people who had businesses and buildings was seeking opportunity to get a piece of the pie. And that's what was going on with a lot of these pastors who was flip-flopping and was saying, well, maybe we can do this or maybe we can do that. Because what they weren't telling the parishioners, those who were going to the church, they was getting paid to open their doors.
Literally.
See? To be used as an extended facility during that emergency. And they didn't want to tell the people in their church that, because then the people would have said, you know what? You sold out. This wasn't to protect us. There was some money there for you.
Mm.
And I'm going to tell you the whole thing. It's deep because we calm things down for a couple of weeks or whatever the case is, right? Because we didn't want to be the only people moving in the earth and people asking, what are these people doing? But folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we were open almost immediately. And our people were coming in the Sabbath, having a good time praising the Most High while the so-called Christian faithful was in their home scared, with one eye looking behind the curtain, wondering if the block was going to come in and get their family. But I digress. 757 area code. We only have a few more.
Shalom.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, 757. 757.
Shalom, Elvers.
Shalom, sister. How are you?
I'm well. I would like to know if in this academy you're going to be stressing about the ancient gods and a lot of that going on right now.
When you say stressing about the ancient gods, what are you saying in particular? You mean identifying the fallen gods and how they were actually... And how they've been repackaged under mythology? Yes.
Yes, and that they're a part of us, and we should be going by, never mind about the Bible, never mind about this, never mind about that. You should be going by, you should be resonating all with nature and the sun and the moon and the energies and the vibrations and it.
I'll be going all into that ridiculous rhetoric. They talking about nature. When they talk about nature, they talking about devil worshiping and sorcery and witchcraft. They trying to hide it under the guise of, I'm more of a naturalist. I'm dealing with nature. No, you're dealing with demons. I'm going to point that out.
Okay.
See, Satan have found a way under these new labels, to clean up his image by claiming it's spirituality, I'm spiritual, or Eastern ideology. Satan has cleaned up his image, and now he's repackaged Satanism. And we're going to talk about that. Okay? We're going to talk about that. So, yes, absolutely, you're going to hear a lot about that in the academy. All right?
Okay, and reinforcing about meditation and the chakras and the
I'm going to... Sister, I'm going into the chakra.
All that.
I'm going into the chakra nonsense. Week two, and see you can you,
week two.
You can find. I'm gonna tell you what the low level witches look like, just to give you some insight on where we're going. The low level witches, all right. You can find them normally at entry level, selling incense and soap. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they you can usually find them at the entry level. Not absolutely, because I know some nice people who sell incense and soap, but I'm going to tell you how you can find the entry level witches. Usually you can find them selling incense, soap, and you'll see them with a nose piercing, a bull ring. Okay, that's a telltale when you got all that. That's a trifecta. When you got all these things working at once. And then on top of that, here's another thing you can find in it. Usually, on top of that, they're using marijuana for medicinal use only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Cannabis.
That's how they're going to bring it. Medicinal use only. And if you go in the house and see a bundle of sage in a bundle, where they're using this to ward off spirits. When Christ told us how to get rid of spirits, and they have crystals laying around in different parts of their home. Right? What you have there is a conclave of demons controlling this one woman who probably didn't tell you she has a Ouija board.
Okay.
See, I'm letting it all out the bag in this academy. So the shock. Mm-hmm. Guess who the top witch is amongst our women in the United States? You'll never guess. Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah. Okay.
Oprah Winfrey. And not following far behind her, Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, Whoopi Goldberg was the one who introduced the dark science to our community during an old movie called Ghost. When she was the medium, she was the medium between a white man and a white woman who had a lost love between two dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been introducing this stuff for a long time. Hold on, sister. Week two of the academy, I'm going to handle chakra. Don't worry about it, okay?
Yeah, you handle that, right. Okay, and my second, right. I had a checklist here, and I just wanted to ask you these questions, yes or no. Me as a female, and, you know, I am kind of up and little in age, I can be a virtuous woman. Is that correct?
What you say?
A virtual woman. That's a yes or no. You know,
well,
according to the
Bible,
there, I can't.
A lot of people are saying Queen Bee, Beyonce, Badu. All due respect to Beyonce and all that, they're low level.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, I need y'all to understand what they had to go through to some degree to be recognized and to be groomed into the dark art before society begins to release them as what you would call divas. They have to sit on Oprah's couch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And listen.
I see.
So I have to get to the next call, sister, but yes, it's up to
okay,
you.
Okay, so I had one more.
Individual.
I have been trying to reach you and was awaiting your call. This was a little personal, and I never got a call back from you. And yeah.
What's your name?
Deborah. I'm the one that's stepping all the debt has to do the name change.
Okay. Well, I can say this.
I have to do the name change. I'm going to say Deborah. I'm going to say Deborah.
Okay. Well, I have a lot of my calls all really scheduled for tomorrow, but I'm going to try to call you Monday, okay?
You'll try to call me Monday. And my, I know last but not least, and all, there's one more thing I have to say that people need to be really – Oh, you got to go. Okay.
You got a lot of last but not least, sister. I didn't let you roll with three of them.
Yes, please. You did. Yes, you did.
So let me
It was
me get
a great lesson
before.
Tonight. And Thank you, and Shalawa.
Right, let me get to the next one. Shalawa. 860 area code. Let's be respectful knowing that Blog Talk may cut me off at any second here. 860 area code.
Hello?
Israelite Truth.
Hello?
The floor is yours.
Hello? Is this, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me,
Hello?
Sir?
Yes, I can hear you, sir. Hi. So I just wanted to call because I am a part of the academy.
Thank you.
You know, I'm a young man. What would you say?
Thank you. I know there's a little delay here. You're the young man that called last week, right? The brother that's about 16
yes,
years
sir.
Of age? Okay, go
no,
on.
No. I'm 21. I'm the guy who accidentally mentioned those names we should not mention. I'm Nick.
Oh, okay. Oh, you. Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Go on. Floor's yours.
Yes. So I'm 21. I'm a part of the academy now, and I'm a young man. You know, I wanted to ask, you know, do you teach about how to follow the commandments? Because, you know, I really have a lot of trouble reading myself, and I have a lot of demons that I have issue dealing with on my own.
Okay, let's deal with
you
that.
Know, what's
real
the way
quick.
To
we
really
have a lot of demons? Oh, hold up, slow up, because you have a lot to say, and I need to isolate that right there. You got a lot of demons you're dealing with on your own. Like what demons?
Like lust. Anger, confusion. It's very hard for me to even think for myself. Like I have OCD, you know, autism. I know these are all demons, but you know, ADHD and all of those things, and it's hard for me to focus.
Let me drop something on you.
Okay.
They have a thing that they do in their lesser magic called the power of suggestion, right? And I'm going to be talking about this in the academy. We have to stop taking on these labels and these so-called diagnoses and labels that they're placing on us.
Okay.
Because that's inviting in the demon. Because now, if for instance, if you accept what they're telling you, you're going to begin to operate in that role to confirm their word. And that's the power of suggestion. You got to stop saying, I have this and I have that. I have this. That means you've accepted the demon they've placed on you. And see, Christ taught this. So listen. You have to, you'll be in control because you've accepted the power of your so-called controllers. You have to accept Christ and understand he has power to rid you of all your deficiencies. And see, and this is what being born again is. When the Most High have cleansed you of your past, you're born again. You're newness in spirit. You're no longer reflecting on, you know, what the world has projected on you. You're none of that if you don't accept it. So it's called in the scriptures, listen, it's called in the scriptures bonds. They were able to do it through psychology, they would have us put spiritual bonds on ourselves as a form of control, now that they could no longer control us through chattel slavery, which is physical bondage. So they've played a mind job on our people. You have to stop accepting what they've told you, brother, and learn again. And we're going to teach you how to do that. So if you're in this, you say you're in this academy?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I can tell straight from that. Guess what? And understand what you're going through. I can tell a lot of things. Your lack of confidence, insecure, have to check on people before you do certain things. And this is how they made our men. Okay, this is what they've done to our young men. But believe it or not, brother, you've taken a step in the right direction. I guarantee you, when you go through this academy, you're going to see life differently. And you'll no longer be under these bonds. You have to be retaught.
I've already been healed, but just a matter of time before I learn about it.
Yeah. So stop taking on these so-called, I got this and I got that. They try to tell me my son had something when I was growing up in school. When I had to leave work and see this woman dressed like me, you know what I mean, with a short crew cut telling me what's going on with my son. I'm like, sis, listen, if anybody got any psychological issues around here, I'm staring right at it. Well, what you mean? I'm like, what you mean? Are you trying to say you phobic or you don't like my lifestyle? I'm like, listen, man, that's between you and the people who put you in this position. All right, but all I'm saying is, how can you tell me that my son has a psychological issue and he need to be put on pills? Are you on pills? So I said, no, my son is fine. He don't have no attention deficit. He had the same attention deficit I had. Y'all boring me up in here. Find something that I'm interested in and I can show you what I'm made of. Okay? So no, my son ain't paying attention because y'all not getting his attention. And Hades, if I'm gonna allow you to put him on some crazy stuff somewhere. And she, you know what she did? She called me in the office the next day and said, listen, I know a great homeschool that your son would love. Okay? Gave me everything I needed because she knew that I was a father standing in the gap to make sure that they didn't destroy my son. And she knew there was extra money that was going into inner cities that can tell people, okay, your son has this or your daughter has that. And there was money being pushed in our neighborhoods to push that stuff on our children. So, brother, don't accept anything they're telling you.
It's funny
Christ,
like that, you know.
Be who Christ would have you be. Break away
and if
from
I'm a
those
Gentile,
strongholds. But you have the last word. Go ahead.
And I'm a Gentile, so it's the same as if I was Israelite, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're going after everybody, whether you Gentile, Israelite, or whatever. They have a campaign targeting our people, our young boys in particular. It doesn't matter if you Gentile or Israel or all that.
So
all right.
What do you think I should do in the meantime? What should I try to do in the meantime? I go to the Connecticut church and my bishop told me to just, you know, get a job and don't have any idle time.
Well, guess what? Your bishop told you right. You should have a job and not have any idle time.
Sorry, bishop. I keep forgetting.
Your deacon told you right, young man. It's time for you to build your worth.
Okay. And
what did the Most High tell Adam? You shall work from the sweat of your brow. This is how you gain recognition and respect on earth. Not being lazy, sitting around playing games and waiting for life to happen for yourself.
Yes. It's hard to get rid of those things. There's no way to compromise with it. Should I just get rid of it?
Hey, brother, listen. You have to decide, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a winner or do you want to lose?
I want to win.
Okay. Winners, The difference between those who succeed and those who fail, losers makes excuses for not winning. You know, a winner don't have excuse. Because you can't,
right.
you can't trade that in. You can't get a wife for that. There's no legacy you can leave for children with that. Okay, that check doesn't cash. Okay? So what you have to do is you have to strengthen yourself up, be a man, and understand there's duty and an obligation to yourself to become something. Okay?
You're right, and God's already blessed me, and I'm blessed that I'm 21 and I'm in him, you know? Because I see, because, you know, I have, now that since I'm 21, you know, it's just like how the devil would. He got me early. God got me early so that, you know, all
you're
my dreams and ambitions, I can gear it to God.
So you're doing it again.
What?
You still, listen, brother, a man don't be talking like that, what the devil's doing.
No, that's not what I meant. I said just like how the devil tries to get young men like me, God got me early. So when I make my life decisions, when I make my ambition, you know, start my career, it can be more geared towards him because I want to be a filmmaker.
Brother, listen. I'm going to put down your phone number. I'm going to give you a call. But, brother, you have to strengthen up. You're going to have to make for yourself short-time goals and accomplish those goals quick. Time is running out. Period. There's no long-time goals for you to become a filmmaker. Okay, that's down the line if the Most High put it in front of you. The short-time goal is to build your confidence and get in this word and find your purpose and let the Most High put your goal, whatever that is, on the path. Only
right.
Focus on the things you can control today. That's it. All right? So I'm going to put down your number. Let me see. Unfortunately, it seems like Blog Talk told me they're not doing it anymore. I'm looking at a big square. It's finished. So I don't even know. I think it's the angels, and I'm even speaking to you because I'm looking at episode is finished. We're processing the audio now. So I don't even know. I don't even know how he's on. Hey, the Most High was really careful. Hey, the Most High must be working right now because this radio broadcast is over, actually. It says the audio is rendering while I'm talking to him. So let me have your name, young man.
My name is Nick.
All right, Nick. Understand. This is why a lot of women are trying to take the reign in this earth right now. Because men are passive and are making excuses. And women are security driven. They don't have no time to wait around for men to figure it out. Okay? Because their life depends on them what? Of something happening right now. So, brother, you have to get some right now. And we're going to talk about that, Nick.
Okay. How do
people
I
like
prepare,
to talk about
how
these
I
women
get...
and all that, but hey, I'm going to tell you, these brothers, where's your confidence, your strength, your spirit? Where is the spirit? And I'm going to say this. There's too many young men out there making excuses. Do you smoke marijuana?
Nope, I stopped it.
You stopped it when?
Maybe like in the summer. As soon as I found out I wasn't right, I stopped.
That's
something
good.
I can control, other things I can't.
How long have you been smoking marijuana?
Well, I started, actually it was just a few times. I went over to my neighbor's house and we did it a few times. And then I decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this. And I didn't really smoke. I just did a few puffs and did it a few times, and I decided to stop.
How did you think I knew you smoked marijuana?
I guess God told you.
God didn't tell me nothing. Not on this.
Because it's something a lot of young men do?
No, because every person that I see smoking marijuana have excuses to why they aren't winning.
Well, I also have porn, YouTube, and other stuff on me all the time.
It makes them lazy and what? Uncaring. Another thing, I know you're about to go into some other areas that I think, you know, we're going to have to, you know, break down and talk to you on another level, because I heard you about to go into some explicit scenarios that, you know, right now I'm trying to get my spirit calm and I don't even want to think about what you're about to lay on me, okay?
Yes,
but
sir.
What I can, on a one-on-one, Nick, I'm going to give you a call. I'm going to say, you know, stay in the spirit. Pray 3 times a day. Before you go to sleep, noon, even if you go to the bathroom by yourself, and when you wake up, 3 times a day, you say the Lord's Prayer. 3 times. Before you go to sleep, when you wake up, and midday in between those two. All right, because I heard you.
As soon as I wake up,
into another zone, huh?
So as soon as I wake up, do it in the afternoon.
No, as soon as you wake up.
And at night.
Midday, right between, take about what? When you wake up,
take about
8 hours. Do it right there. Pray again the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. And before you go to sleep, 3 times a day, do that every day and get back with me and tell me, you know, take 3 of those and tell and talk to me in a month and tell me how you feel.
They go prescription.
And that's
you're going to call me Monday?
Yeah, I'm going to call you Monday, Nick.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay.
And try not to do idle times, like maybe read some scripture.
Read scripture? You can stay in Proverbs and stay in Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. And what that'll do is that'll build wisdom in you. Wisdom.
Okay. Do you think I should stay away from anything?
I think you know what you need to stay away from.
Yes. Video games
and
YouTube.
Well, YouTube is fine if that's where you found me. But I think there's other places you're going.
What do you mean?
You probably need to stay away from. I'm talking about online.
Oh yeah, obviously. I just don't want to mention it because it's live.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm gonna call you Monday. All right.
Thank you.
And
blessings to
you. Thank you, brother. And like the Most High said, Nick, I'm gonna call you Monday,